This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kicking off the final hour of Grant and Danny on this Tuesday, a celebratory installment of the show because the Nats have gotten a contract done with Steven Strasburg. 7 years, $245 million. Team president Mike Rizzo is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. He negotiated the deal with Scott Boras. Mike, Steven Strasburg's coming back. Tell us how this came about and how long you guys were working on this.
Well, we really started working on this before the season ended. We had, you know, communications and dialogue. There was a willingness on from both parties to engage and stay engaged. And you know, at the end of the day, we've got a contract that worked for both parties. Obviously, it's a lot of money for Stras. We keep him in a Nats uniform for the remainder of his career. We've got ourselves another frontline starting pitcher. It really enhances our chances of being a championship caliber a club again in 2020. And we get ourselves a great pitcher, a playoff savvy, playoff successful, great performance, but a wonderful person with great character, and a big part of that clubhouse culture in there, which we've discussed so much over the last year or so.
Mike, I think I speak for a lot of Nats fans. I mean, Stras exercised his rights. He met with other teams. That'd make me very happy, though. I didn't like seeing that. I like hearing about how he's meeting with you and talking with you, and it obviously worked out in the end. But was there a time, if at all, that you thought he may actually go elsewhere?
Well, you know, he had other opportunities to go elsewhere, to talk to other teams, which is his, you know, he's, you work really hard to earn that right as a big league player. And I'm all about that type of freedom when you earn it. I like to talk about the guy who stayed, the guy who talked to other teams, but decided to come back home to Washington and be a member of the Nationals for the remainder of his career. That's the narrative that I want to talk about, because that's the only narrative that counts right now. Is he's a Nat. He's a great pitcher. He's a great person. He's moved his family here, lock, stock, and barrel, and they're members of the Washington family and the Washington community.
Mike, he's 31 with some injury history and $245 million upfront guaranteed. I think everybody knows why you gave him that money and why it was maybe necessary. But will you speak to the risk in this deal as well? It's a lot of years and a lot of money. Last year was the first time he kind of put it all together as a healthy full-time starter and led the league in innings.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great pitcher since the day he took the mound for us in the big leagues. When he's on the mound, he's as good as anybody in baseball, and that's the way we see him. He stayed on the mound the whole year last year. He's a guy that's really kind of revamped his workout program, his throwing program, his mechanics on the mound, and I think he's a guy that is an extremely hard worker and very conscientious. And like we always say, you know, 7 year deals, they're always risky. 7 year deals for pitchers are extremely risky. This is the same verbiage that we talked about when we signed Scherzer for a 7 year deal. There's risk involved, but there's also risk if you don't do it. You don't have Steven Strasburg, and we felt that the risk reward ratio was in our favor, and couldn't be happier that he wanted to be here, that he structured a contract that allowed him to be here, and chose Washington to be his home for the rest of his career.
Mike Rizzo with us here on Grant and Danny, talking to Steven Strasburg's mega contract extension or signing here back with the Washington Nationals. How has he developed as a pitcher, Mike? When he first came up, we all remember it was 98. The hook was nasty and the changeup and everything and striking out 14 Pirates and how he was early. His fastball velocity was average fastball velocity lower last year, but maybe a more effective pitcher with the secondary stuff. How has he grown in terms of mound presence and being able to bounce back from adversity and everything else? He's really blossomed right under your eyes.
Well, Well, I think he's a, you know, he's more of a complete pitcher right now. You know, when we brought him up, he was a stuff guy that that relied on power stuff to get swings and misses. You know, he was you know, his delivery was much more max effort than it is right now. He had a lot of moving parts, and you know, with some instruction on his own and with our pitching people, you know, he's gone from a wind up type of guy to more of a simple stretch only type of guy that really alleviates a lot of the moving parts, and I think takes a lot of stress off his elbow and his shoulder. And I think that you know, he's always been a pitcher that had great stuff and great command. You know, his command of his three pitches are second to none. He's got the best swing and miss rate on a curveball and a changeup in baseball. And he's a guy that can throw those pitches in any spot, in any time of the count, in any part of the game, and he can throw them for strikes, and he can throw them for swing and miss balls. So he's really embraced the art of pitching. He's an extreme hard worker and preparer. He's really into video room and into the advanced work when he prepares for his pitching performances. And he's just a student of the game and a classic teammate that is way more of a leader in the clubhouse than he shows. And he's got complete respect and command in that clubhouse, and guys look to him for leadership and advice and mentorship, and he gives freely with that stuff. So he's a consummate teammate, and I think that you know, he would have been a great asset to any team that he went to, and we feel good that he chose to stay with us.
Mike Rizzo, President, Baseball Operations. That's nice. As a Nats fan, you guys can constantly feel like you're in good hands with this front office, as they field a 90-plus win team year in and year out, only the Dodgers having had more regular season success over the last several seasons. And in the past, you've said that, but the playoffs hadn't been there, and now they're coming off of a World Series run. You're reigning champions. Mike, Anthony Rendon, what's the latest? Are you still in contact with Scott Boras? Are you guys out now? I mean, Mark Lerner, as you probably know, publicly said last week, if you signed Strasburg, you wouldn't be able to sign Rendon. Is that the case?
Well, I think that you know, we're never out on any player, especially with the type of contract that we signed Stras. It allows us to be aggressive and go after other players to complement the rest of our roster. And I think that you know, Anthony Rendon is you know, one of the, if not the best, free agent prospect out there. And you know, ownership has always given us the resources to go out and field a very competitive team. There has been no edict not to do the same this year than we've done in the past, is to give us the resources to sign, you know, the best in the game. And we will be involved in just about every scenario that you can imagine. Free agent, meaning Anthony Rendon and others, the trade market, and we're going to be active and aggressive and try to put together another championship caliber club. And we think we've taken great steps in the last couple of weeks to do that with the additions of Yan Gomes and Howie Kendrick and now Stras.
Are you still in a kind of a information exchanging, like offer by offer phase, or you've made your offer and they're out now doing their thing on Rendon? Are you still actively talking with Boras on that daily?
There's constant dialogue. I wouldn't describe it as daily, but there's updates and there's dialogue and open communication, as there always has been, and with the Boras Corp clients and with ourselves. So we're in, you know, constant contact, and we're going to be aggressive and you know, trying to put together the best team that we can on paper.
And Mike, when you mentioned the way that this deal is structured, talking about with Steven Strasburg, and I heard Scott Boras mention it yesterday as well, help folks understand what that means when you say it's structured in a way that allows you guys to kind of continue to go after players and build the team, Rendon or otherwise. The competitive balance tax number seems to be one thing, but then maybe the cash that changes hands in a given year, maybe something else. What is it about this offer, or this contract rather, that allows you guys to remain competitive? Help folks understand that.
Well, the collective bargaining tax and your yearly cash flow payroll are two different things. The calculation of the CBT number for any of the players is just the average annual value of the contract. So, you know, if you just divide the total total number of value to with the years, and that's your CBT number, more or less. But the payroll is different. You know, that's your cash flow, your yearly payroll. As we've done in the past, where players have deferred money to later years to alleviate the great hardships of these yearly payrolls. So oftentimes, with the announced number of yearly salary is a CBT number and not the number that that we're paying out on a yearly and annual basis. So Strauss deferred a portion of his contract on a yearly basis to alleviate a little strain on the, especially the first couple of years of the contract, and that allows us a little bit more freedom to put together a team around him because of those deferrals.
Mike, two more real quick ones. First, Ryan Zimmerman. I just assumed this would be real quick. Hey, you want to come back? We want to have you back. We're not going to pay you a lot. Okay, cool. And it would have been done already. I'm sure there's more to it than that, but I don't know how much more. Are you pretty confident he'll be at first this season for the Nats?
We love Zim, and we'd love for Zim to be to play all his games in his final seasons with the Nationals. And we've been in contact with him and his people. And I was with him the other night at the media event, and we have a good dialogue and a good understanding of what we're doing here. So we feel good about our past relationships and our future.
And then the last one, and you probably have no interest in talking about this, but it wouldn't be a segment if we didn't make you a little uncomfortable. Thomas Boswell in the Post mentioned that you are actually in a contract year as well. I'm curious if you have any comment on that, or if what the timeline would be to get you under contract, because while we're talking Rendon and Strasburg, you've become an important part of this puzzle too.
Well, we don't discuss contracts pending or otherwise. The Lerners and I have been together since day one, and we've got a great relationship. And they see the success that we've had as a group and as a unit. And I don't see that going away anytime in the near future. So I'm comfortable where we're at. I know they're comfortable with what they've got. So I think that we've got a really good partnership and a really good marriage together. And I feel blessed to be here, and hopefully they feel the same way.
Mike, always appreciate the time and the candor, and it's exciting news for Nationals fans that Stephen Strasburg once again will be taking the bump for the hometown club. It's really cool, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate having me on.
You got it. There's Mike Rizzo from the winter meetings, president of baseball operations. Already been busy. Howie Kendrick is back.
Steven
Strasburg is back. Yan Gomes is here. Yan Gomes is here.
When he signed, I got a lot of those.
I bet you did.
Well deserved, by the way.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Dwayne Haskins has now started 5 games. Let's compare him to some of the other rookie starters in the NFL on G&D. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. We're with you until 2 today and every day. If you missed any part of today's show, including our interview with Jason Lockonforo with Radio.com, you'll never miss another moment. Download the app, select our station, rewind up to 24 hours, and catch everything the way you want, when you want. Pretty cool feature. Dwayne Haskins has now started 5 games, played in 7 games. So he's basically played in half of an NFL season's worth of games, and he started over a quarter of a season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big sample, but it's not nothing either. It's enough, I think, we can have a decent conversation about what he is, what he isn't right now, and I think the best way to do that might be to look at him through the lens of some of the other rookies around football. I do have to tell you something, though.
Please.
Show nugget. Dwayne Haskins blocked your guy on Twitter.
Yep.
I got blocked.
He did do that. He did do that.
So there's that.
That is something that happened.
I don't know. This could have happened at any point. This could have happened weeks ago. Because to be honest with you, I've never checked his Twitter before. I've never looked at it. Someone hit me up and was like, hey, check out what he tweeted about this. And it was just like a football thing.
This is how it happens, yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll look it. And I'm like, I put his Twitter search in. And I can't find his account. And I'm like, it must be spelled differently.
There's an error with
my
typing.
Like, oh, then there's D.H. Simba. And I'm like, he's nowhere to be found. I'm like, wait a second. Maybe he blocked me. And so I throw into the old Google search, Dwayne Haskins Twitter. Sure enough, pops up, You are blocked.
Matumbo'd.
From seeing this account. I got Sam Dallenberg by the starting quarterback of the Redskins. Anyway, I bring that up only to tell you that I posted a graphic yesterday that wasn't very kind to the starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins.
But it's just information. You can get upset if you want to.
I literally didn't give an opinion. I don't know if that got me blocked or not. I will say this, too. This happens to me a lot. I don't know if this happens to you. It won't be with Haskins because you love him so much, but it'll be maybe somebody else. When you say something like, bad throw, you know, he or took the sack, can't take the sack there, I'll have people that'll like tweet at Dwayne Haskins a lot and be like,
oh, the Twitter tattletales are the worst.
This dude is a hater, bro.
Worst in the world.
We don't believe in him. This guy's hating on you all the time. So it could have been as simple as he saw some of those and just blocked me.
I've told you, my earliest block was, by all accounts, a pretty nice guy, but who loved Alexander Semin. Back when we used to tweet about the Capitals before Caps fans got too annoying. And I was like, another stick penalty for Alexander Semin in the offensive zone. Oh, my God. Never said that he's not a great goal scorer.
Right, exactly.
I'm annoyed in that moment. And he would, like, tweet at Alexander Semin, like, tattletale, like, about my tweets.
Right.
I was like, I don't want you to be able to do that anymore. Therefore, you're out. Yeah. It's like one of my first or second blocks.
So that is one of your hard and fast block rules.
The tattletale thing.
I think
what are you
it's
doing?
Become mine as well. Because I don't need these guys worrying.
What do you hope?
It's not even that I'm talking behind their back or anything. For me, I would tell Dwayne Haskins if he walked up to me right after the throw and said, what do you think about that throw? I'd say, that was a really bad throw. Doesn't mean I think you're terrible. Doesn't mean I think you stink at football. Doesn't mean I think you'll never be a good NFL quarterback. But it is an infuriating thing where people go, hey, man, at Funny Danny is hating on you.
Because, again, what are you hoping for? Here's why I block it. Whether it's meant to be private or not, it's a public medium. It might get back to them. It might not. It's you hope that you get to ingratiate yourself with the athlete. And he's like, yeah, you're my friend. He is saying that about me. You're in my inner circle now, you loser. You get blocked for that. You suck. You're a pathetic, sad excuse looking for validation from the star. That's what you want. You're telling on me who's mean or hating or whatever the hell stupid the phrase you want to use.
It may not have been that.
In the hopes that this guy's like, thanks for looking out for me. Now we're friends. I'm friends with Dwayne. Dwayne and I are social media friends, said the loser. Screw off is my
it could have been this chart, which is all it is a chart with no comment, but it's a chart that doesn't look great for the Redskins or Haskins. So Kyler Murray, pick number 1. Daniel Jones, pick number 6. Dwayne Haskins, pick 15 in the first round. 4 other quarterbacks have now started games in the NFL this season in the rookie class. Drew Lock, the 42nd pick. Ryan Finley, 104th. Gardner Minshew, 178th in the 6th round. And Devlin Hodges, an undrafted free agent. Of all of those quarterbacks, only Ryan Finley has a lower completion percentage than Dwayne Haskins. Lock, better. Minshew, better. 6th rounder. Hodges, better. Undrafted. In the yards per game category, you've got guys averaging 235 a game, Murray and Minshew. You've got a guy averaging 221 in Locke and Jones averaging about 215. Then you've got Haskins and Devlin Hodges at about 130 yards per game, way below those rest of the pack. So Dwayne Haskins, who's 2 yards ahead of Devlin Hodges for the Steelers, they win most of their games, by the way, including both of his games. So you're going to throw less and throw for fewer yards. Meanwhile, the Redskins are from behind. They're throwing more. You would think more yards per game. Hadn't been the case. Touchdown percentage. Again, I'm not comping him to Aaron Rodgers or Matt Stafford or Kirk Cousins or Drew Brees. I'm comping him to rookies in his class. 7 guys, only 2 drafted higher than him have started games. Touchdown percentage, Murray, 3.5. Jones, 4.9. Locke, 9.1. That'll come down. Finley, 2.3. Terrible. Minshew, 4.0. Hodges, 5.0. Haskins, 1.9. By far the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Interception percentage. Everyone talks about Daniel Jones and how he throws way too many picks. He also throws the ball way more. 3% of the time he throws a pick. Haskins, the highest of all the rookies, 4.4. Surprised me a little bit because we talk about him not throwing many interceptions. Well, he doesn't throw many passes. So he's got a higher interception percentage than Murray, than Jones, than Locke, than Finley, than Minshew, than Hodges. So he's got the lowest touchdown percentage, the highest interception percentage, sack percentage. Kyler Murray, 9.1. Jones, 8.2. Haskins, 14.0.
That's the one that's alarming.
He gets sacked 14% of the time he drops back. Locke, less than 2%. That'll come up. Finley, about 11%, has already been benched. He's the only quarterback, by the way, in the zip code with Haskins. He's already been benched. Minshew, 6% of the time. Hodges, 7% of the time. Half as much as Haskins. And then quarterback rating. I'll throw Devlin Hodges is out the window because it's 2 games where he's a caretaker. He's completing 70% of his short passes, and he's got a 103 rating. But here are your QB ratings for the rookies this year. Murray, 87. Jones, 84. Locke, 111. Finley, 62.1. He's been benched. Minshew, 90.3. And Haskins, 61.2. So just from a numbers standpoint, Danny, of seven rookie quarterbacks, including an undrafted free agent from Samford and a sixth rounder who moved around a couple colleges at the end of his career, Haskins by far having the worst rookie season.
So the only number in here that is worrisome to me that's like eye-popping is the sack percentage. To me, he's still, you know, the first couple games, he checked it down 10 times. They handed the ball to Adrian Peterson 30 times, and they're playing not to lose, and very little is asked of him, right? Now, maybe that's because of his level of play or whatever, but to me, I put some context with some of these numbers, right? Like, I get they're not going to have a lot of touchdowns at this point. I get that there's not going to be a lot of, you know, yardage totals at this point, right? Yards per attempt don't reflect kindly on him either. The sack percentage number, that's the one that's alarming to me because that's injury. That's, you know, not seeing where the bad's coming from. That means that more bad stuff is going to happen than not, whether it's fumbles and you've been lucky to this point, whether it's throwing into coverage you didn't know it was there, whatever. Getting hit that often, to me, is the precursor for the David Carr Award, right? For the Joey Harrington treatment. That's the bad one to me.
Was this a little more jarring than you would have thought?
Yes.
Just looking, I don't even mean the sack percentage specific. I mean the chart in general.
Yes. Anecdotally, I go, yeah, he'll be at the bottom of the rookies. By this much in some of these categories is, whoa.
It's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, there's a chasm.
I mean, most of the guys are completing mid-60s percent of their passes, and he's at 55. Most of the guys are between 215 and 230 yards a game. He's in the 130s. Touchdown percentages anywhere around the threes or the fours is pretty good. He's sub two. There's not a single category here that shows well to this point.
Right.
But there are reasons for this, obviously. He doesn't have a lot of weapons. There are other guys on this list that don't either. It's a terrible offense. You're not going to statistically shine. There's no doubt about that. But you just want to see more than we have. 800-636-1067. I'll say that the toughness that he displayed, he was tough as nails against Green Bay the other day, playing through that injury, was awesome to watch. That was kind of inspirational, I think, for his teammates and for me watching how he gritted through that game. I don't think he should have been allowed to. I thought that was malpractice from Bill Callahan. But the fact that he stayed out there and hobbled around and made some throws and led them on a drive at the end of the game for 75 yards and a touchdown, I thought that spoke highly to his character.
Agreed.
800-636-1067 is the number. Haskins compared to the other rookies. Hadn't been pretty so far. He obviously doesn't have a lot of help from weapons. He's not on a good team, but a lot of these guys aren't on good teams and lack some weapons. Are you concerned? Are you feeling better as you watch him? How you feeling? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Drew Lock, second-round pick with the Broncos, only played two games, but so far, so very, very good for him. He's been outstanding. 73% of his passes completed, 220 yards, and he's got a 111 rating. Gardner Minshew, sixth-round pick for the Jaguars, had pretty quick control of their offense. He supplanted Nick Foles as their starter. Throwing touchdowns, minimizing interceptions, gets the ball out pretty quickly. Has a rating over 90. I wish I could say I've watched more of Kyler Murray this year. I will tell you that what I've watched, I've really liked. But I think he and Daniel Jones have both kind of had what you expect from a rookie quarterback who sustainably has a chance to be really good. I believe in Murray's game. I think he's an electrifying talent. I believe in Jones's game. I think he makes way too many mistakes. But both of those guys, Danny, statistically, kind of eyeball test anecdotally, are what you expect. Some good, plenty of bad.
Yeah, up and down. It's a roller
coaster.
Rating
in the mid-80s. Great way to put it. It's the rookie roller coaster.
Yeah.
They've both been riding it. Locke right now is on a honeymoon phase that's going to come crashing down.
Sure.
I mean, there's just no way he's going to keep lighting it up.
Not at this pace.
Ryan Finley didn't look the part for the Bengals. Now, that's an example, like Haskins, of playing with a terrible team without a lot around you. It's not that easy. And Dwayne Haskins has found that out like Finley did the hard way. Devlin Hodges has the opposite situation of that, where they have no talent whatsoever, but at least really good defense, really good special teams, great culture, team that seems to find ways to win all the time. So he's just doing a lot of caretaking. Minshew, I guess, is the most fascinating guy in this rookie class for me because he's looked super sharp at times, as if he could be somebody in the future in this league.
He's got that playmaking gene. He's going
to
run around like a crazy person. You know, that's exactly what it is. It's not about driving the ball downfield on a 30-yard bench route or hitting a guy in traffic. It's about scrambling around until somebody works open. It's some of that backyard football, like the poorest man's version possible of Brett Favre. You know what I mean? Even though Favre had that arm strength. It's like that dance around, just figure something else out when all hell breaks loose is where he's thrived so far. But back to Haskins specifically. Again, I think there's way, way, way more if we're doing the how did we get here thing. I think there's so much to this system, this situation, this offense, this lack of weaponry that's hampering what would be production. That doesn't completely write off where he is, but I think a lot of these numbers are because of that. That said, there's also a couple of alarming things that jump out of there from those stats and from some of any other numbers you want to pick.
Yeah,
if you want to accuse Grant of cherry picking, there's plenty of numbers that support this same conclusion.
So I think there's a couple things. I think you can come to whatever conclusion you want to, I suppose. To me, all these things can be true. The team is terrible that he's playing on.
Uh-huh.
The offensive design is bad. It's not going to make you look good when you run it as much as they do and have as many third and longs as they do. And so you're not going to put up great numbers. But you could say that and also say he's played poorly. You could say that and also say there's some things that should worry you.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping he'd be way further along after 5 starts in 7 games than he is.
The hits, man.
Steve in Bethesda, what's going on? You're on Grant and Danny.
I am on Team Cherry Pick. I'm with Danny on this. He's got no offensive line, and he had a head coach that got fired in the middle of the season. Matt Castle went 10-5 with the Patriots and couldn't play quarterback anywhere else in the league. You are a product of the team around you, and he has nothing. So all I'm saying is we don't know yet.
That's fair, but so we can't evaluate him at all? I mean, you can't watch him play and be either impressed or unimpressed?
Absolutely can. I'm just saying it seems like you formed more of a conclusion than the data provides.
What is – I don't know what – so what's my conclusion then? You tell me.
You seem to be leaning towards he's not worth a damn as opposed to we just don't know yet.
Leaning toward, you're right. We don't know yet. I say that every day. But as of right now, I think he's not very good.
But I think that's a product of what's around him more than his potential.
I think that's a contributing factor. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, having the one thing different from the other rookies is that he lost his coach in the middle of the season, and I don't think the coach really wanted him to be there in the first place. So it made it hard to get up to speed, and he's showing some grit, and there might be something there. I think all we really know is that he's not a transformational player. He's not a Aaron Rodgers and just comes in and lights the world on fire. But he's got potential, and we'll see. It's so hard to judge with so little data just yet.
I think that's a great call.
Yeah, I think all those things are fair.
And I think that's totally fair. And I don't. Here's the mistake that people make. I think
I
about
disagree
us.
With the notion of cherry picking. Cherry picking would
fair.
Mean you pick certain stats. There's not a single stat. There's nothing. Not even screw stats. Throw numbers out. There's literally nothing he's done yet that has been good. So that's not cherry picking. That's just what it is.
Now, people can't handle this part of this. I don't understand why. Well, I guess I do understand why. It's they're not adults. I still believe in Dwayne Haskins. I think Haskins has a chance to be very good. I like that he's here. I want him here. I want him to do very well. I think he can do very well. He's shown some attributes to me that I go, I'm excited about that, right? I can say that and then go, to this point, he has not played very well.
Yeah, I
don't know why that's impossible for
I
people to spin both
plates.
I guess
that's my frustration as well, is like that guy says, you've already made up your mind. Well, tell me, how did I make up my mind? What is my mind made up on? My point is, I'm talking about what we've seen, and I think people take that always as what I think he'll be 3 years from now. He might be good 3 years from now. Now, we can have another debate as to whether or not I've got 3 years to wait. I care about what he'll be next November,
mm-hmm.
and I certainly care about what he'll be the September after that. But to say that he has not played well right now is correct. It's just information. That's just there's no one that can disagree with that. Now, I think a big conversation we could have to the caller's point, and I point it out every single day, is he gets no help, and this is not a good offense. Nobody would play that well. Would Kyler Murray play better? Yeah, I think he's proven that he's a better prospect
right now.
Sure,
right now, yeah.
Daniel Jones, yes. Gardner Minshew, yes. And that's kind of my point of this exercise is, it isn't to say that anyone calling Dwayne Haskins a bust is ridiculous. It's A, it's too soon, and B, there's not enough to help him around him to even know what he could be if things were better. My point is, comparing him to these other guys and what they've shown, he lags behind.
Yeah, call Jameis Winston a bus after this amount of time and the 100 interceptions with Mike Evans, with like 7 different athletic tight ends and Chris Godwin, and he had DeSean Jackson for a while. That's what a bus looks like, right? Now that we're this far into his career, way too premature to say anything about Dwayne Haskins' long-term future.
It's the same way, you know, when I would...
We're prognosticating.
If I would kill Jay Gruden for a third down call, and someone would call in and say, Jay Gruden's not as bad a coach as you think. I didn't say he was a bad coach. I said he made a bad third down call.
Yeah.
If I say Jay Gruden was awful on Sunday, didn't get the Redskins ready, and someone goes, you think they should fire Jay Gruden? I'm not telling you Dwayne Haskins is going to be bad forever. I'm not telling you the guy can't play. I'm telling you right now, he's not very good. They can't throw the ball at all. If they can't run it for 240 yards, they can't win football games because they have no ability to move the ball through the air. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We'll get you set for the Tuesday night in sports preview, our days ahead. I got a pretty cool activity I'm doing tonight I'll tell you about. I don't know what you got brewing, but we'll figure that out next.
Way less cool than you.
What do you got going on tonight, Danny? A Tuesday, kind of a quiet night in sports, presumably.
We don't have much quiet around these parts. The lady wife is probably landing in a few minutes in the greater Seattle area. I will be by myself, fending off 2 children with a broken rib and pulled intercostal muscles, which limit my ability to do crowd control. So we're thinking of heavy measures.
Are you close to full strength? Are you back off the injured list yet?
Not close. And it's frustrating because I don't feel pain just sitting still like I did, you know, a week ago.
Are you working out yet?
No, not even close. I'm quite literally not permitted to. And it's a great excuse to have like a doctor's note that says don't do this.
That is nice.
But it's to the point where I'm not even supposed to pick up my kids because I could just tear these muscles off again. They're in this precarious spot. And even yesterday, just kind of helping my son up, they barked at me. Last night, so I had a little bit of a setback with that. So it's a total pain.
Wizards do play the Hornets in Charlotte tonight. 7-15 Wiz, looking for win number 8. The Hornets are 9-16. I think people thought they were going to be worse than they are, but
it's the Devontae Graham show down there, by the way.
If that's my guy.
If you haven't checked him out, check it out. It's a cool story. Guy that nobody wanted, did a D League bit or G League. I haven't called it the right thing in years. It's like, The injured list instead of the disabled list. It's going to take me a while to get that right. But Graham has played really, really well. He's been near 20 points a game. Him and scary Terry Rozier are getting buckets for Charlotte.
Haskins is who we were talking about. Had a much more, I would say, encouraging game against Carolina than he'd had previously. And then he played most of Sunday on one leg against Green Bay. So it's tough to take a lot out of that performance, being fair to him. We know about the arm strength, but we were comparing his numbers to some of the other rookies in the class. They don't stack up that favorably. I think here are the things you should feel encouraged by and happy about.
Mm-hmm.
1, dude's tough as can be. What he did Sunday, I thought, was super encouraging. 2, we already knew this, but his arm strength is off the charts. He's made a couple of throws this year. One of them on a play that got called back, remember. Kind of just an outrageous throw downfield to Terry McLaurin.
When he's rolling left after escaping
right.
through just dime
like
70 yards down the field.
Like 68 yards in the air, something stupid that no one in the league can throw.
Yeah, so that's where you go, okay, practice.
That's a preposterously plus tool, so you give him credit for that. And then the third thing I would say is he called himself a closer. I don't know if I'm going that far, but I like the way he's finished a couple of these games. He had his best drive after a bad day against Detroit. At the end of that game, they go get a field goal. He had his best drive at the end of a bad game against Green Bay. They go get a touchdown. You can dismiss it if you want to as quote-unquote garbage time, whatever. You still got to make the throws. You still got to make the read. You still got to drive balls into receivers. There's a lot of guys that get balls batted and throw picks in those sequences. And at the end of these games, I think he's been better generally than how he starts. I find that to be encouraging. And I'll throw one more thing in there. Super athletic compared to all the pre-draft reports.
That's mine, and that's the drum that I was beating. Danny Ruggier, scout over here.
Yeah,
not
you
at
love
all.
Talking about how you...
I over-talked about it.
You thought he could move a little bit.
Yeah, and I understand he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not winning 40s, and I don't care about that. I'd love that. It'd be really cool.
That would be fun.
I would enjoy watching that, but at the same time, this to me is about can you extend the play, and you saw the one that you talked about that got called back.
The Panthers play?
Yeah, or even that one, yeah. I mean,
the Panthers play on the sprinkle drop was my favorite play of the year. That was the first play where I kind of got out of my seat and was like, all right,
special.
Show me something, 7.
Right. It's the, you're huge, and yet somehow nobody gets a clean shot at you. Now, people are getting clean shots at him an awful lot, especially on a bum ankle. He should have been out of the game. But it's that Roethlisberger thing, right, where it's a guy's that big, and somehow he's slipping out of the grasp a little bit to make a backbreaking play. I've coveted that forever.
Let's go to Tim in D.C. Hey, Tim, how are you?
What's up, Tim?
Thanks for letting me in, guys.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
You know, one alarming stat I read was out of all the quarterbacks in the league with 100 attempts, he's at 54.1%. That is atrocious. I mean, I don't either you can throw the ball and get it, you know, he's overthrowing, he underthrows. My 75-year-old mother says this guy is the most inaccurate quarterback she's seen. I mean, it was funny to listen to, but if he really
I
is
thought that
not
was like
an
a joke.
Accurate.
She actually said that.
She's like, well, she's a scout, right?
She actually said that. She said this guy is not accurate. She watches football. She's watched it for 40 years.
She's an advanced scout for the Patriots. She was at the Browns-Bengals
videotaping.
Game. They were doing a documentary on her this past weekend. Thank you for the call. The accuracy is, to me, so far, I just said all the things that I'm encouraged by. That's the most alarming of all of the traits. You know, and it's why, like, one guy I really liked pre-draft was Josh Allen. Everyone killed his accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
To this point, he is, I think, impressed overall. Like, he's been a good playmaking, winning quarterback. But he's a better football player than passer. He's a bad passer.
Yeah.
And that has not changed. He's had a couple decent games. But where I've cooled on him is I need to see accuracy. I need to see an improvement. And sometimes that's hard. So with Josh Allen, I'm starting to think he'll just never be able to be accurate. And his ceiling is basically this, kind of an average playmaker at the quarterback position who's not a good passer.
So if you're like me and you go, Haskins completed 70% of his passes at Ohio State. Now, a lot of those are quick stuff.
Yeah, that to me is
irrelevant. Well, but it's relevant because it's the NFL. People do that now in the league. And the Redskins aren't doing that. They don't do that stuff at the moment. He's got as high in air yards per attempt as anybody in football at this stage.
But his short and intermediate stuff hadn't been accurate either.
And he hasn't been accurate. And so if you're an excuse maker for Haskins like I am, I think a lot of his inaccuracies, because you can't argue that he's been accurate. I think a lot of it are mechanical things that, if cleaned up, will help his accuracy. I think a lot of it is he's off his back foot, or he's not stepping in the right way, or someone who would know more could speak to it. But I saw a guy that was accurate at one point.
Ken Bethesda, how are you?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I grade myself as a very detached viewer. I'm no longer an extreme Skins fan. But when I watch, I want to reiterate what the guy said before. The accuracy is not there for an NFL quarterback. Just not there. Now, the question is, will it get better? Are there mitigating factors? I don't know, but I wouldn't waste a first-round draft pick on somebody who couldn't throw into tight windows and couldn't hit people at 20 yards away.
And he did that in college. You know, he was certainly making those throws at times at Ohio State. I think in general, he was throwing to more open receivers than he is now. But bottom line is, the Redskins need him to make huge strides going into next season.
Because that's without question.
For a little while, when it looked like they might get the first overall pick we were talking about, or Burrow might not go one, but there were two guys in the top three, and you know, maybe he'd be there at two or three. Now that's not going to happen. So Dwayne Haskins should be their quarterback next year. They should build around him. They should give him every opportunity to improve and to thrive. But there's some things he needs to clean up, and one of those, you mentioned the mechanics. That's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the accuracy, it's got to be a huge storyline.
Has to be better.
2 days from now, we're shaving Chris Russell's head at noon.
Yeah, we are.
That's a Thursday, 12 o'clock endeavor. You can come on down to the station, take the clippers, take the scissor, and for $25 for charity, get a nice whack at that hair. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to radio.com and use our rewind function, download the app, select our station, and go back in time. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks for listening to the fan. Or watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.